All right, Jack Quinn's been shooting the puck really well lately, and when it comes to shootouts, this guy's got some moves. Let's see what he's got for Johansson here. To the right circle, Quinn cuts to the middle, holds it, fires, scores! Lightning off of that stick from Jack Quinn, and the Sabres get the first in the shootout. Alex Tuck's got a chance to win it right here in the shootout. Sabres with a goal so far. Reimer stopped both. Alex Tuck against Johansson. Tuck to the far circle. Walks in. Deke scores!
A pair of shootout goals for Buffalo. Jack Quinn, Alex Tuck, Dan Dunleavy on the call on both of those. And for the Sabres, that's what they needed to win. A 3-2 shootout victory over Tampa. We're going to call those co-goals of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Live in the press box, Brian Colzio with you on the postgame. A victorious night for the Sabres. They continue to play well at home, getting a 3-2 shootout victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, Buffalo never led in this game until the shootout. They trailed 1-0 and 2-1 each time, able to tie it up. Goals from Thompson in the second, Zucker in the third, and then after a wild overtime in which both teams had good opportunities to score, the Sabres get two goals. Quinn and Tuck, you heard them right there. Reimer, perfect, 2-for-2, stopping on the other end. And the Sabres beat the Lightning. And the only meeting this year in KeyBank Center between these two teams, they will meet again on April 13th in Tampa as the Sabres will close out the regular season portion of the schedule here in just a little bit, just a week and a half left, seven games to go. Boston tomorrow, Carolina Tuesday, both of those are home. Then at Columbus, at Florida, at Tampa, and then they'll close with two more home games on the 15th and the 17th against Toronto and Philadelphia. So real impressive home record. The Sabres are now 11-2. 11-2 in their last 13 home games. Really, really impressive. In order to become a playoff team, one of the things the Sabres, they knew they had to improve upon was to be better in this building. And they've established a pretty good home record now overall. I mean, obviously the 11 of 13 is an example of that. But now at home this year, 20 wins, 14 losses, and 3 OT shootout losses. So 20, 14, and 3. That's very, very good in terms of what they've been doing. And Buffalo passing another team tonight. They passed Philadelphia ahead of the Bruins, who they'll face tomorrow, ahead of the Flyers. And they actually can pass Pittsburgh tomorrow night with a win. The Penguins two ahead with 74. But they've played two more games, the Penguins have. And also the Sabres maybe have a chance to pass the Islanders here shortly, as they also are just 4 points behind New York. So some teams that, you know, it looks as though that it's trending maybe that the Sabres won't finish in dead last in the East, and they can maybe chip away and grab a couple of more. I know, you know, for fans, ultimately, it's still not going to be good enough. If they weren't in wild card two or better, then it's another failed season. And I would agree, and Paul and I were talking about it in pregame. It still goes back to that 13-game winless streak stretch from late November into December that just absolutely crushed this team. You know, you look at basically what they've done since the calendar turn of the year. They've played good enough to be in the playoffs. At home, they've been excellent. We know when Rasmus Dahlin is healthy, they've played essentially a playoff clip. But that stretch is really, really going to kill them. And a lot of those games without their captain. But the Sabres have now won 7 of their last 10. 7-3 in their last 10 and 3 straight. And it'll look to make it 4 in a row coming up on Sunday against the Bruins. Again, right back here tomorrow. We'll have a 5 o'clock pregame show, 6 o'clock puck drop. Dan and Rob, of course, will have you on the call right here on the Sabres radio network. But the overtime, to me, was the best portion of this game. Back and forth it went. The Sabres had a good amount of possession for at least the first half. Paterka had a breakaway that he could have scored on. In fact, I mean, Paterka had some high-quality chances in the third. I wrote at least two of them down that he had. And then, of course, the clean breakaway in the overtime. A chance with a minute to go in regulation. Jack Quinn couldn't bury it. And then Thompson trying to find McLeod at the buzzer very close. It was one of those nights where I'm sitting here thinking, oh, my goodness, is Jonas Johansson going to be the guy that we talk about here at the end of the night that steals the show against his former team? He was good. I mean, he faced 38 shots. Buffalo ends up with 38 in this game. And only two go by Johansson throughout regulation and overtime. Of course, two of the three shots in the shootout coming through. The Quinn shot was just an absolute rocket off of his stick as he was able to beat Johansson high corner. And give Reimer credit. You know, he hasn't been in a ton of shootouts this year, and he comes through very nicely for Buffalo, stopping two very good players in Guentzel and in Point. Reimer had a really, really nice save on Guentzel back in the second period that had Guentzel kind of throwing his stick, banging up against the glass. So Guentzel probably tonight sitting there thinking, man, he could have been a big difference maker. Tage Thompson got his 40th goal. He's up first live with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. Tage, the second time you're able to score 40 goals in the NHL. What does that mean to you?
It's nice. Obviously, you set personal goals for yourself, before the season starts, and for me, that was one of them. And obviously, the individual stuff is always second. The team stuff's always first. And I think the individual success is a byproduct of how you play as a group. And I've been fortunate enough to play with a lot of skilled players that have made my life a lot easier and helped me get to that plateau.
It seems like you guys are 11-2 in your last 13 games in this building. It seems like you're playing the right way here. And if you look at this game, I mean, defensively, you hardly gave up anything in the first period. You won the special teams battle. And I guess those are the ingredients to win, aren't they?
Yeah. I think it starts in net. Rimes has been playing great. And, he's been giving us a lot of confidence when we're in the D zone and there's a breakdown. It bails us out. I think as far as, like, team defense goes, I thought through the neutral zone tonight we were great. We kept them to the outside, and I think frustrated a lot of their top guys. Obviously when that happens, they tend to force pucks, and I think we just forced them into mistakes, and we were able to capitalize on them.
Is that game also a reminder, Tage, of how you guys can play defensively when you do manage the puck, so you can play with more structure?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just made the game simple on ourselves, easy on ourselves. We didn't really give them any easy offense. I thought we were smart with the pucks, at our blue line and their blue line. And I think, obviously, defensively, like I said, we were in sound position. And I think the puck management's been a big thing for us all year. It's bitten us quite a bit of times. And I think, tonight was another solid example of us just making mature plays when we don't have anything.
How satisfying is it to be able to turn that on other teams, to make them have those mistakes and have those problems in the games because you're putting the pressure on them?
Yeah, well, we know, obviously, on the flip side of it, when it happens to us, when you get frustrated, you tend to try to force plays. Maybe you're not getting enough puck touches in the game, and when the puck finally does end up on your stick, you try to force a play that's not there, and usually it ends up in the back of your net, or you're chasing or running around in your D zone for a minute and a half, and then you're gassed and you don't have any energy to play offense. So we know how exhausting and how tough that is to play against, and I think when we do it to other teams, obviously we know firsthand how that feels. So I think that gives us momentum and helps us to just commit to playing that way for the full 60. I think sometimes we've gotten off track where we've played well and kind of gotten bored of playing that simple style of hockey, and then we try to get too cute and then usually let teams back into the game. But I thought, this last stretch we've really matured and committed to playing a complete game for an entire 60 minutes.
What was your mindset as a group? I mean, Tampa's been money after two. They were 35-1-1 and leading. You guys have just taken that rough too many men penalty. I mean, and you guys came out and really played a rugged third and, got it back together.
Yeah, I think special teams has given us a big boost lately. Obviously, it's kind of been mediocre all year. I think we've had chances to win games earlier in the season with our special teams, whether it's PK or power play. And I think, both units now, power play and penalty kill, stepping over the boards, impacting the game in big ways for us. Obviously, Rimes makes some huge saves there on the kill. But those are big momentum shifts in the game there when you're killing off a penalty and you got their five best players on the ice and they don't get any looks or any puck touches. That frustrates them. And then on the flip side, when our power play goes out there and we're snapping it around and making some good plays and getting looks, that just kind of energizes our bench and gets us kind of rolling. So I think that's been a big thing for us lately.
What do you like about playing with Benson?
I think his tenacity on the puck. He's a little rat. I love the way he plays. He's hardworking. He moves his feet. Doesn't matter the size of the guy he's going against. He's going to come out with the puck. And for me, when I'm playing with him, I just try to put it in areas where he's going to be able to get it. And I think you see that on that goal. Plays the puck into the corner. He goes in there, strips him, and makes a great play to me in the slot. And obviously he's got some really good hands and some vision. So you pair that with his work ethic. You know, he's a lot of fun to play with.
Thank you, Tage. Tage Thompson on the post game. And we will.
Both guys are ready for here.
No, seriously, Dexter told me. He said
it's like half an hour. Requests, so we can go at the same time.
Jason, a lot of good ingredients to get a win in this game. You win the special teams battle. You get big saves. You're good with the puck for the most part. And those, obviously, are the ingredients to win hockey games, aren't they?
Sounds like a good game. You just summed it up pretty well. I don't know what else to add to it.
Is that the way you saw the game?
Yeah, I thought overall it was pretty good. I think we're doing a better job of taking away a lot of their grade A chances. A team like that, they're going to create them no matter what you do. So you try to limit them as much as you can. And I thought when they got those chances, James was spectacular. So it was nice to see.
What's been the... I know it's a big question, but the last 3 weeks, what has been the difference for you guys as a team to have the consistency that was missing for the stretches of the season?
I think we're just trying to buy into the right things and do the right things consistently. And when you do that, you give yourself a chance to have success. And I think early in the year, it felt like we would do it for a game or two and we would take a night or two or three off. And it's hard to find consistency that way. So if you just focus on doing the little things right, as cliche as that sounds, it's what works. I mean, you look at all the best teams in the league, they do the simple things really well. And when they have a chance to make plays, they do it. And I think that's what we've been doing lately.
That team came into the game. They'd only lost once when they had the lead in the third period. And you guys had to kill a penalty to start. It seemed like you guys really drew a lot of energy off killing that penalty.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job all night, especially with such a dynamic power play. That power play is pretty impressive. It's fun to watch, and I think RPK was up to the task and did a great job.
How about your power play goal there? Alex just seemed like he kept that puck alive for you. He had a lot of tenacity in the crease there, didn't he? You probably don't get it if he doesn't really keep that alive, do you?
Yeah, I think he did a great job. It was nice. Great job by Dahls getting that puck through. JJ having the poise to get that puck up to Dahls, and then for Tucky to just kind of stick with it. And I just tried to fish it out of his feet and get it on net, so it was nice to get that one.
What do you think about what you're getting out of James Reimer the last few weeks?
Honestly, he's about to turn to dust with how old he is, so I'm surprised that we're getting it. But it's been fun to see. He's a heck of a guy. He's a hell of a teammate. Had an amazing career, and he's showing why right now.
You guys have turned this into a difficult place to play. You're 11-2 in your last 13 here. Why is that?
I think it's just fun. I mean, we've got a great building. We've got great fans. It's been fun to get momentum and be able to hold it. The fans are kind of keeping the energy up and enjoying being at the games. And I think that's a product of, you know, both them, you know, being involved and being here and cheering us on and us feeding off it, and also us putting a good product on the ice. I think that's a big piece of it too. So it gives them something to cheer for. And I think that goes a long way.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Jason Zucker there, who got his 20th. 5:07 into the third on the power play. That put Buffalo and Tampa tied. All right, James Reimer, first star. Here he is with Paul.
Well, I mean, you waited for your opportunity. I mean, it's been a pretty unique season, even by your standards.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm just trying to enjoy the moment. I try and approach this game with a lot of gratitude. Obviously my faith is a big part of who I am and how I operate, and so I take this as a blessing that I get what I get to do, what Christ has called me to do. So when you have that mindset, you know, you just go out there and try to play to the best you can to honor him, and you know, it doesn't matter if you're put on waivers or you're on a six game, or I think it's a six game winning streak now, or whatever it is. Personally, you know, it really doesn't matter. You go out there and you do the best with what you got.
James, what has the recipe been to win 11 of your last 13 in this building? You've made this building hard to play in.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, it's every team you've ever played on, you want to play well at home. I mean, when you're playing well at home, there's no better feeling on earth when you get the crowd behind you and the barn is rocking. Like, that's what you dream of as a kid. And so every guy on every team you've ever played on, you want to go out there and you want to put your best foot forward in front of your home fans. And so, like I said, we've been playing really well. We've been playing really hard to a man in here. There's a standard we're trying to hold each other to. And you know, when you start getting the results like that at home, I mean, that's one of the main reasons you play for is that feeling and doing it, you know, for the people watching. So it's I didn't even know that stat, but I'm really happy that you know, that we can be doing that.
One last one. How do you approach a shootout? What is your mindset?
Honestly, kind of like OT. I mean, you just try not to overthink it, but it's you're just focusing on make that first save. You know, you're just focused on the first guy coming down, and when that's done, you focus on the second guy.
Thanks, James. James Reimer in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Reimer, first star. Paul speaking with all three stars, 1, 2, and 3. Reimer, 1. Thompson, 2. Zucker, 3. As Buffalo wins it tonight by a final score of 3-2. So Reimer has now won 6 in a row in net. Very, very impressive. He wins, obviously, tonight against Tampa. Then Ottawa the other night, that 5-2 victory. Then that wild game with Washington, 8-5. They beat the Penguins 7-3, then wins against Ottawa and Winnipeg. Yeah, 6 straight for him. Real, real nice, impressive stretch here for Reimer. As now, tomorrow, I mean, you'd say, hey, a goalie's won 6 in a row. You should play him again. But faced, what, 24 shots? You got to go Lukanen tomorrow, right? I mean, back-to-back at his age, goalies don't play back-to-back very often at all in the NHL anymore. So while it'd be tempting to throw him back out there, I would bet pretty much everything that it will be Lukanen tomorrow. And Lukanen's got to play well. I mean, you go back to the last Sabres loss. It was Philadelphia. Who was in net? It was Lukanen. He gave up 7. Now, there were some poor defense that night for sure, but Lukanen's got to play better. Otherwise, Devin Levi's already going to be a guy that Kevin Adams, I'm sure, will have on his radar to be the guy next year, or at least battle to be the guy. Where Reimer fits into all this next year will be interesting. If Reimer keeps, you know, if he finishes, let's say he finishes off here and maybe wins, you know, 3 of his final 4 or something like that, and, you know, finishes the season really strong. Well, where does he fit into the mix? The Sabres, you know, aren't going to carry 3 goalies, but they could talk to Reimer and say, look, we're going to let these guys battle. How much faith does Adams have in Levi that he can clearly be the number one? Would Lukanen be tradable with that contract? I think it could be. Lukanen, would you want to give up on him after a ho-hum season, after he looked really good for the second half of last year? So I think goalie is going to be interesting with what Kevin Adams does in this offseason, and maybe even just the Reimer piece in it all. He's very, very, very well-liked in the locker room. And obviously the guys love playing in front of him, and he's been excellent here. You know, I got a tweet. Somebody said, if Reimer had been playing, how many games has Lukanen played? 52. If Reimer had been playing 52 games, where would the Sabres be in the standings? I don't know if I can really give you a good answer on that. But Reimer this year, to be honest, like, I only remember like one really, really, really bad game. Now he's on game 20 tonight. Smaller sample size, you know, opportunity to have some stinkers in there, but for sure, there's an argument to say, hey, if Reimer had played a lot more, maybe this team could be in a race right now. I mean, it would only take a couple more wins for the Sabres to really be in the race legitimately. 3-2 the final, shootout victory for Buffalo. We're waiting for Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. And if you're listening in your car, your drive home from the game, brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, celebrating 90 years of business. All right, while we wait for Lindy, let's get our final stats in here. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots end up 38-24 in favor of Buffalo. More stats in a moment. Here's Lindy Ruff live.
And Hedman walked right down the middle. So that's a big part of it. But then I thought the rest of the period, we settled down, and, you know, we got ourselves into – In a place where we were getting the puck in the right area, we weren't making a lot of mistakes with it, and we were getting the better of the opportunities, causing them to make mistakes with their puck play. You know, you look at the breakaways, you know, from J.J. to Quinn. I think J.J. had a couple, and Quinn and Tage in alone. So we had lots of opportunities to put the puck in the back of the net.
It's become a very hard building to play in recently. Just, I mean, how important is that just to establish that going forward?
It's really important. It's you have to make your home building, because you know that everybody is trying to do the same thing. You get in the road. We get our own matchups, which if you look at it from a coach's perspective, it gives you a margin of, you know, take their top defending line away from Tage, or take it away from our top line, and you don't have to chase matchups. So to be good in your own building is, yeah, if you want to be a good team, you got to be good in your own building.
We didn't play much, but what did you think about Östlund in his first game?
I thought he played well. I would have liked to got him out there a little bit more. We had him on that second power play unit. Got a little tight down the stretch, you know, and went down. They were playing three lines, so we just started playing three lines. But he's gonna play some hockey for us. So that was a great start. Got a win in his first NHL game. I thought he had plays inside the D zone that you really like. He read the plays well. Didn't get himself in any trouble.
24 shots for Tampa. Not normally a lot, but it seemed like a lot of quality chances. And Reimer, again, just when you need the save, you seem to get it from him.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you look at, there was a couple, you know, tough plays, that even that one where JJ kind of handed him the, where he had to make the glove save. Yeah, he's made the big saves at the right times that has allowed us to win games. And you need that. You look around the league, you need somebody to cover up your mistakes, and usually your goaltender's the guy. And sometimes it's big shot blocks inside the zone, but I thought Rimes gave us, he gave us one heck of a game.
He got his 40th tonight. I mean, what's it been like coaching him this year?
You know, effort and, you know, his ability, watching him shoot a puck and watching him handle a puck, is something that you admire as a coach. You know, when he hits the odd shot that's over 100 miles an hour and then can skate the way he can and handle the puck the way he can, I thought he was dominant tonight. I thought that line had a really good night. I thought Tage had a really good night. That line probably could have had three or four goals when you look at it by the end of the night. So it's been good. Using him on the wing now, I think his production has been real good. It's been a good fit for him.
How close were you to challenging Tampa's second goal? I think it was their second goal.
I don't think that close, really. Although you can challenge almost any goal, because sometimes you don't know what the results are going to be. It's hard.
Tage's line, I mean, how much was that Benson, what he was able to do just in battles and being around the net?
That is a part of it, for sure. You know, I think him creating the turnover on the first goal, great. I think he was in on probably three or four opportunities where he just got to the puck, and in his will against bigger players just to get the puck was greater. And really, that's one of his strengths.
You beat a lot of the weak teams in this league calendar hit March. For all the struggles your team has had, what does that say about the fact they've accepted these challenges when the standings say that their season's going nowhere, to play all these league teams and come up with the number of wins you have?
Yeah, because we have work to do, really. We have work to do as a team, establishing the way we need to play, the way we need to manage the puck night in, night out, shift after shift, and they've wrapped their arms around, we know where we're at. But to become a better team, you got to take every period, every game you're playing right now and use it as a stepping stone. And I think you got to give them a lot of credit right now for digging in.
Benson still surprises people. Perbix looked like he was shocked that he got stripped of the puck. Does he still surprise people?
That's a good question. Probably should ask Perbix, not me. But that's his strength. He gets there, and he's got great leverage on the puck. You know, he's probably stronger leverage when you look at it than a big man with a, you know, you look a big man that's got a 6.5 foot stick, and he's got the smaller one, the leverage he's got when he gets over a puck, he's pretty determined to hang on to it. Thank you.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. As we bring it back up here to the press box, a 3-2 Buffalo victory. Now the Sabres right back at it tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. I'll have the pregame at 5 as Buffalo welcomes Boston here into KeyBank Center. We'll see if Buffalo can keep the home winning ways going. 11-2 in their last 13 home games. They've got Boston here Sunday, Carolina here Tuesday, and then the following week to finish off the season, it's Toronto and Philadelphia here in this building. All right, for all of our local affiliate stations, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, we've got more postgame coming up. When we come back, we'll get Paul Hamilton's final take on the game. We'll update you on the standings. We'll check what's happening elsewhere around the NHL and the rest of the sports day. Send us your tweets as well at BrianWGR. We'll read some tweets coming up here. Final score, shootout win, Buffalo 3, Tampa 2. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. An outstanding save there from James Reimer. Dan Dunleavy on the call from the second period. One of his 22 saves in the game. Your save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. Welcome back here to KeyBank Center in the press box. Brian Colziel with you as the Sabres win again. And 11-2 in their last 13 home games. They've established home ice quite a bit here lately. We're going to read some tweets as we'll get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today in just a moment. But before we read the tweets, let's hear from Paul Hamilton. Paul, how about that home record? 11 of their last 13 at KeyBank Center.
11-2-0. And then if you want to take it a step further, they would be 14-4-0 in their last 18. So that's what you have to do. Lindy Ruff is exactly right. You have to establish dominance at home. And they have done that now for, well, what do you play, 41 home games. So for the last 18, half their home season, they have become a dominant team at home. And, you know, that's part of the progress they have to make. But you look at, you know, you can say, well, why did they win this game? And there are certain elements of a game that you have to do if you're going to win hockey games on a consistent basis. First, the way they defended in the first period. They gave up one chance. They had two shots and one scoring chance. And that got them started to playing the right way. They also got big saves from their goaltender. You know, you're not going to win hockey games if you're not consistently getting big saves from your goaltender. It's as simple as that. And they won the special teams battle. And there's not a lot of times this year that we could sit here and say that.
Right.
But they got the power play goal, and they faced some good scores on a power play, on the penalty kill, and shut them out on three attempts, including, you know, they first of all started the third period with a lead, and they had only lost once all year when they led at the end of two periods. And then they started off the third period with a two-minute power play. And I think the Sabres got energy off killing that penalty. They almost gave up a goal right after the penalty was over. Reimer made a huge save, and that kind of propelled them. And they outshot the Lightning 13-5. And they also, it's like, they're like, okay, if we go to overtime, who cares? All we want to do is get 2 points here.
Right.
You know, and if it takes going to overtime, so be it. I think before they would get antsy. And that's when they start, you know, we got to win this game now, you know, and then they start giving the puck away or they don't get a big save and it's in your net. And next thing you know, you don't get to that overtime. Now they're perfectly content. It's like we've got 60 minutes in overtime and a shootout to win a hockey game if we need it. If we got to take the whole thing, we'll take the whole thing. It doesn't matter for your 2 points. Sometimes it matters with the 1 point if you're chasing somebody. But it doesn't matter for your 2 points, whether you get them in regulation, whether you get it in overtime, or you get in a shootout, you got your 2 points. And, you know, that's what they're working for now. But just those simple ingredients, you put them all together, and you're going to win a lot of hockey games.
Paul, James Reimer has now won 6 consecutive starts. He's the first start today. I know it's back-to-back, so I guess we'll see Lukanen tomorrow, but Lindy's getting everything he can out of a guy that Jason Zucker said is as old as dust.
Yeah, and, you know, they got to get Lukanen going. It's a back-to-back. He's got to play tomorrow, and he's got to play better than he has been. It, simple as that. And, you know, he's facing a team that broke their streak tonight. So they you know, they're at least feeling good about themselves that they won a hockey game at home. They've got to come to Buffalo. Buffalo does not have to travel. So, you know, it's time for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to step up. Start playing the way you were playing at some games earlier in the season. Start playing the way you were last year at the end. And, you know, James Reimer is pushing you right now. And maybe, you know, if you don't step up pretty soon, maybe you won't be in the equation next year. So, you know, he's got to think of that too. He's got to start playing the way he's capable, and we know he can play, but hasn't, especially since the break. So, you know, that'll be his test tomorrow.
3-2 Buffalo in a shootout over Tampa. Paul Hamilton with us here on the post game. Okay, Paul, another milestone for Tage Thompson. It's the second time he's hit 40 in a season. He had 47 two seasons ago, but up to 40 this year, and obviously some games left to add to that total.
Yeah, and he's stayed relatively healthy this year, too. I mean, health issues have hurt him in the past couple of years as far as goal scoring has gone. But, you know, he missed a few games earlier in the season. But for the most part, he stayed healthy. And, you know, whether he's played wing or center, he's been able to produce. You know, it hasn't mattered. He doesn't, you know, I don't think he's going to tell us if he would rather play center or wing. He just goes out and plays.
Yeah.
And it's his job to produce. He understands that. It's his job to be a leader. He understands that, and he goes out and does it. So I don't think he's going to say, I'd rather play center or I'd rather play wing or whatever his it may be. It's Lindy Ruff put me here. I'm going to play. Let's go.
Noah Östlund-Paul tonight made his NHL debut. 8:37 of ice time. Lost one faceoff, took a penalty. He did get a little power play time at the end of one of Buffalo's chances there, but Lindy had some nice words to say about him after the game.
Yeah, he was good defensively, and that doesn't surprise me. It's kind of what he's done in Rochester. He learned the defensive game rather quickly, and he said it's because he played 2 years in the Swedish Hockey League in pro, and he did that so he could learn the defensive part of the game. He understood that if he's going to be an NHL player, he has to be good at both ends of the ice. So, you know, he felt that was his way to do it. Plus, you know, I thought he made a nice play to Malenstein behind the net. He and Lafferty went behind the net. They won a battle. Östlund came up with the puck, set up Malenstein alone in front. Johansson made a good save, but that was a good play by Östlund there too. And, you know, with the little bit we saw of him, I thought he did just fine.
Paul, we know Jason Zucker is coming back as Kevin Adams gave him a contract extension right at the trade deadline. He now has hit 20 goals on the season. He's got 50 points. And guess what? Another power play goal. So part of that special teams win tonight is because Zucker has been doing what he's been doing all year, which is come up with points on the power play.
Yeah. He's outdone what I thought he might do. I'll readily admit it. You know, when they signed him, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Fine. You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it. It's just like, yeah, whatever. And he's been more than whatever. I mean, he really has, you know, he leads the team in power play goals. You know, again, just right by the net. Why did they score a power play goal? Because Tuck and Zucker are right at the net. And Tuck is right there to keep that puck going in the crease. Johansson couldn't cover it. Zucker's right there also. And Tuck knows where Zucker is. And he's kind of trying to direct the puck that way. It comes to him. And he calmly finds an opening to put it into the net. I mean, that's the way you play a power play. You go to the net, and you work hard. And, you know, that's what the two of them, and Zucker is the reason they have any power play goals this year. For the most part, he screens the goaltender. He knows how to tip the puck in front. He's very good at tipping towards corners of the net and doing things like that. You know, he just knows how to perform the little things that help you win hockey games. And you know, when the power play has worked, he's been a big part of why.
Okay, Paul. Well, Boston here tomorrow, so a quick turnaround. And let's remind everybody, and I'll remind you as well, don't forget 12:30 TNT tomorrow. Ovechkin and the Capitals against the Islanders. A chance to break the record for Alex Ovechkin.
You know you're going to confuse me. I'm going to be here at 12:30. Yes. Thinking there's a game.
Yeah, don't be here at 12:30. Capitals and Islanders are not playing here at 12:30. Yes. And it's 6 tomorrow, not 7. Let's also, you know, yeah, it's a so night
you,
game, but it's
so
6.
You know, you got to remind me.
I got to remind you. So, Paul, pregame, you'll join me at 5, so just be ready for
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. I'll be there.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Yes.
See you tomorrow. All right.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. Yes, Ovechkin tomorrow, 12:30. TNT. Against the Islanders. Chance to break Gretzky's record. All right, we got to finish up our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The shots end up 38-24. In net, Reimer gets the win with 22 saves. Johansson the loss with 34 saves. Now, the three stars are all from Buffalo. Zucker, star 3. Thompson, star 2. Reimer, star 1. Individually in the game, the shot totals for Buffalo. Paterka ends up with 6 shots to lead all players. Thompson and Tuck with 4. Physical game for Peyton Krebs, Matias Samuelsson. They each get 4 hits each. Samuelsson also with 4 block shots. Malenstein, 3 block shots. Bo Byram with 3 block shots. So a very, very nice game for those crew there in the help. A complete win, obviously, for the Sabres. Power plays, the Sabres win there. 1 of 3, Tampa 0 of 3. That's your DynaBrade.com power play update, powered by DynaBrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. And yes, Noah Oslin played. You just heard the stat line because of the Sabres' injuries at forward. Still no Jordan Greenway, still no Josh Norris, still no Tyson Kozak, and I would expect to see none of them back in the lineup tomorrow. I would be surprised if something changed, but there's been no indication from the Sabres that they're going to be back in here tomorrow when the Sabres take on the Bruins. So likely, in terms of the forward lineup, you likely, I think, are going to see the same. That's your injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, let's read some tweets here. Actually, let's do the scoreboard first. Then we'll go ahead and read some tweets. So let's see what's going on elsewhere around the NHL here. And it's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. We go back to Jonathan Colziel to take us through the busy Saturday in sports.
Thank you, Brian. Couple games left remaining tonight in the NHL. Both midway through the first period. Out in Calgary, it's a scoreless game between the Flames and Golden Knights. And in San Jose, Kraken currently have a 2-0 lead over the Sharks. Finals from earlier, we got a handful of shutouts tonight, actually, too. One of those being the Devils over the Rangers, 4-0 in that one. Senators with a shutout over the Panthers, 3-0 there. Sidney Crosby scoring 3 in the 5-3 victory over the Penguins over the Stars. Crosby finishing with 4 points in that one. Canucks beating the Ducks 6-2. Kings with a shutout over the Oilers 3-0. Bruins taking care of the Hurricanes 5-1. David Pastrnak with 5 points in that one. Hat trick and 2 assists. Maple Leafs all over the Blue Jackets 5-0. Anthony Stolarz 27 save shutout there. Canadiens beating the Flyers 3-2. St. Louis 5-4 over the Avalanche, and the Utah Hockey Club with a 4-1 win over the Jets. In Rochester, Sabres fans, take note, 2 of the top prospects performing on top of their game tonight for Rochester. They take care of the Belleville Senators 4-0. Konstantelainen with a hat trick, 3 goals, and Devin Levi with a 27 save shutout there for the Amherst. Congrats to the UB women basketball team. They win the WNIT championship game over the Troy Trojans, 88-84. Men's college basketball, Final Four tonight in San Antonio. First game ended a little earlier tonight. Florida taking care of the Auburn Tigers, 79-73. Currently in the second game, it is Duke 34, Houston 28. That one is at halftime. And out west in Denver, it's the Bandits are visiting the Colorado Mammoth. That one is currently a tie game, 6-6 in the third quarter. Brian, over to you.
All right. Busy day. Great win for the UB women. They sold out the place at Alumni Arena and kind of conjuring up memories of when it was like during the Hurley and Oates era on the men's side when that building was packed, and now the women and Becky Burke getting it done there today.
Yes, and as we were discussing after they won off air, hopefully, you know, with the college landscape these days, they can put a nice little few-year run together with the coaching staff and team, even though you're going to probably see some major changes again with, you know, with the way the NIL and the transfer portal goes.
These days. With the success at a mid-major means Becky Burke's going to get looked at by bigger schools.
And it might be as soon as this offseason.
Right. Now, here's the only good thing that I'll argue. With the season lasting so long, the Bulls going obviously all the way to the WNIT championship and winning, a lot of maybe were vacancies in terms of firings and rehires or new hires, a lot of that has been done.
Yeah, or along in the process. Right.
So even though, you know, had UB season been over right away, you know, maybe in some sense, of course, you know, want to make the NCAA tournament, but, you know, maybe the MAC team goes to the NCAA and then they're one and done and their season's over 3 weeks ago.
Yep. Whereas, and there's only one other college game in the women's bracket, so it's right. Not like, you know, there's 2 more weeks left in that one.
Yeah, we've got the championship tomorrow with UConn and South Carolina. So maybe by extending the season, some schools that maybe could have had Becky Burke on their radar off, but it doesn't mean you're right. It kind of happened, though, with the Bulls this way. Remember, it lasted a while, and then Alabama essentially threw the house at Nate Oates, and, well, you know, obviously he's been incredible with what Alabama's done.
30 wins for the UB women. That's awesome, though.
Yep, the all-time record for the UB women in hoops. All right, and tomorrow, Ovechkin, chance to break the record. Kind of stinks that it isn't at home.
Well,
I know that Islander fans that had tickets to this game, selling them for not only hundreds, but some over $1,000 a ticket. You know, if here's a question.
All right, go ahead.
If Washington is playing here tomorrow and you had tickets, as a fan, would you want to be in the building to see Ovechkin break the record against the team that you root for if you're a Sabre fan? Or would you take the grand and run?
Am I a season ticket holder, or did I just randomly buy for this game? Because I might have a different financial investment.
I'll say you're a season ticket holder, but, you know, maybe you're thinking, hey, if I sell this ticket, next year's seasons are now free all of a sudden for you.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did I just answer the question for you?
Yeah, I think you did. I had thoughts, and I know some people had thrown it out there on Twitter that they should scratch him tomorrow because
they want to do it at home.
And that would not count as a game started, so he would still have that one game less played to beat him in the same amount of games played, because I don't know if people listening know this, that Ovechkin has the goals he has in one less game played than Gretzky. I don't know how that number works out.
That's amazing.
Over the years that both of them played, that they have the exact amount of goals in one game difference. That's incredible, and especially for the era that Ovechkin played in versus Gretzky.
It makes me appreciate Ovechkin's record even more. I mean, Gretzky's obviously phenomenal.
The points for Gretzky will never be touched.
But the era that Gretzky played in and the, what we'll say, relative ease to score versus what it was for Ovechkin, especially to start his career, early 2000s and things like that, it was much more difficult. So, obviously, you know, we're comparing two of the greatest ever here. Not to say one is better than the other, but in the end here, I mean, there's a great chance because Ovechkin, he's got 1 year left on his contract. If he completes it, I mean, obviously, barring something wacko happening here, he's going to go over 900 here.
Yep. And it's, you know, you'll never bag on Gretzky for his points and his goals. You know, you go back and watch some of his highlights, and the goalies were like 5'7", 140 pounds, and their pads looked like kiddie pads compared to today's game. And then you have the clutching and grabbing era of the 90s that Ovechkin came into. So, you know, as I said, the Gretzky points record will, I mean, never be even thought of.
Yeah. The fact that...
But the goals is incredible for Ovechkin.
The fact that he has almost 2,000 assists.
Yeah.
And 2,857 points. That's wow. Yeah. Yeah, he was a playmaker for sure. And, oh yeah, and a goal scorer, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, Ovechkin with a chance tomorrow. 12:30, that game's on TNT. So a chance to take that in if you want before... the Sabre game at 6 o'clock.
As I had mentioned about, you know, should they scratch him, how much you think is Ovechkin
I would say
really putting it on the net if he's trying to do it at home on Thursday?
Well, I'm going to say he's definitely not considering the scratching piece because he yesterday kind of gave us the indication that he wants to do it in the spirit of the game way.
For sure.
He begged off of the empty net. So I don't think he wants this to maybe be staged or planned. I think he just wants it to be a normal goal in a normal situation, nothing where like, oh, we've got an empty net, let's push him out there, or, you know.
I mean,
that at least is my internal thought of just kind of judging how he handled the empty net possibility yesterday.
No one would ever consider this is a charity case run here this season. His 40 goals in, what, 66 games it is? That's incredible.
Yeah, really amazing.
And he's coming off an injury. He started the season, like, he had a mid-season injury, and he's been still doing it on the back end here. It was incredible.
Yeah. All right, let's read some tweets here. We get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can always send me your thoughts on X, Twitter, at BrianWGR. A couple of tweets going to read about Reimer here. Matthew saying, Reimer won us this game. Well, first star for sure. Definitely in the shootout. Patrick says, I say we bring Reimer next year back for a chance to start.
We had looked at each other off air. I was going to jump in on Paul when he was talking about Lukanen. He kind of answered it, but I really wonder what Lukanen's feeling is right now, because the team is playing well. Reimer's getting the wins. He knows he's lost the net to Reimer right now. I don't know that he knows what next season looks like for him.
Yeah.
Whether it is Reimer or Levi, or if he's going to have to battle them both, what his offseason looks like. But, I mean, you have to feel like, even though Lukanen, because he hasn't been getting the starts, he hasn't been speaking to the media that much, you have to think there's really, really, disappointment on his end that he hasn't had a chance to really get back in and take it, because Reimer has just seized his games this last.
These last 2 weeks, Reimer's played every game except for the Philadelphia game, and Philly put up 7 on Lukanen,
who was the second worst team in the East at that point.
Yes. One more tweet here. Johnny says, let me read. He's commenting on Thompson, talking about the defense and how it's been better. He says, quote, I think it starts in net. Reimer's been playing great. And then Johnny says, that's an indictment of UPL. I don't know if Thompson's directly it. I don't at all want to say Thompson is saying that to put down UPL. I think he's totally complimentary, though, of Reimer in that role, saying, like, look, we're getting really, really good goaltending right now.
You know, it felt early. I don't have his exact season record before he got on this little run here, but Reimer, I want to say, was like, he was like 2-9-2 or something like that. And I want to say, like, those games, he didn't necessarily, you'd say, like, oh, he really earned the victory, even though, they got the losses.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like you lose 2-1 and you're like, wow, the goalie played awesome but still got a loss, I don't know that was necessarily the case, but, you had mentioned earlier, if Reimer starts even half of some of these games, maybe not 52 that UPL started, are they in a playoff spot?
Reimer's played 20. If you say Reimer's played 30, 10 more, and maybe, does he win 7 of those 10 with how he's been playing? I don't know.
Right.
And Lukanen doesn't mean Lukanen would have lost those 7 either, but
I guess what I'm saying is the opportunities that Reimer got through the first half of the season, the Sabres weren't helping him out, nor was he winning the games for them either. So, obviously you look back at all that stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Just like we look at that 13-game winless streak, that's going to be the thing that we talk about going into this offseason. Like, look at just if the Sabres even just win 3 of those 13 games, which is terrible, by the way, winning 3 of 13, that's a terrible stretch. That's not good. But if you gave Buffalo 6 more points right now, they'd have 78, and there'd only be the Rangers to leapfrog before you could get to Wild Card 2. You would be still 5 back, but they would have a game in hand on both the Rangers and Montreal. If you win that game in hand, now you're 3 back, and all these games now matter.
And probably some of those 13 were those teams that they had to jump, I would assume. I'd have to go back and look. But, you take a regulation win to one of those games against, the Islanders or the Canadiens or whoever.
Yep. I mean, some of those games in there are Detroit and the Islanders and Montreal.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that could have changed it for sure. I mean, those
are 4-point swing games, too. So you sit there and go.
The night that they led Colorado 4-0 after 1 and lost the game in regulation, that is, to me, the poster child for that 13-game winless streak. Probably with runner-up honors going to the Montreal game the day after Terry Pegula came to Montreal, gave the team the solution is in the room kind of, thing that we all said that was reported. And then they went out and played awful against Montreal. yeah, it's been better lately, and, you know, I don't know how much fans are going to really, really take solace in it. These games where the, quote, pressure is off, and the Sabres have been very good. They've definitely been good in this building. If you've been here, you've been likely happy leaving. They've won 11 of their last 13. Four more home games. Tomorrow night's the first of the four. Boston at 6 o'clock. We'll have the pregame show at 5. I'll have it for you right here on WGR. All right. With that, we're going to say goodbye to everybody here and good night. Thank you for listening. As we wrap up the postgame, I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer back at our Amber Studios. Thank you, TJ. On site here at KeyBank Center, Jonathan Koziel producing and anchoring. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Ryan Koziel. Thank you for listening. Again, the final in a shootout. Buffalo 3, Tampa Bay 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, Sabres and Bruins, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.